Welcome back to the Right Read Podcast. I'm Isaiah. You can find me on Twitter at user GD Supremacy.
Over here at the end, 1/4 of the Right Read Podcast, DeAndre. You can find me on Twitter at Willems, WILLLUMZ.
It's giving our editors a lot of pain.
It really is.
Thank Will.
Yeah, say I'm Usa. You can find me at Usa the NBA.
And I'm Will. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all that good stuff at Bias Houston.
And once again, we are back continuing the top 10 players at every position series today.
Finalists, the final list,
top 10 centers in the NBA. I don't know about you guys. I went into this list thinking it'd be harder than it was, thinking like, man, the center position's so good. You got all these top guys. And I started making the list like,
this is easy.
This is relatively easy for me about what I think the top 10 centers are. It got a little dicey at the end, but we'll get to that.
I'm more interested to see the back end.
I think the back end, but starting at the top of the list, I think everyone should have the same number one. Does anybody want to?
Jock Lando?
Joctavius, man. Shout out to Kangaroo Deuce, man. Shout out to Kangaroo Deuce. Is he still?
No, he's not.
I was like, wait, what?
He's in Indiana right now, right?
Did they sign him?
I have no idea.
I think the Pacers signed
him. Shout out to Jock, man. I hope you did find a job. Great professional. Yeah. Great professional, man. That occasional Jock Lando pick and pop three, man.
The Grizzlies, bro. Yeah, I don't keep track of Jock.
Bro, I feel like he's in all. I know, funny. I feel like he's in the NBL. I don't know. Like,
but NBL? No.
I thought I said something, he went back home.
Oh, in the NBA somewhere.
I hope he is. Shout out to Jock. Grizzlies, shout out to Jock. Oh, J-Huff replacement, I guess. Shout out to Jock, man.
Did J-Huff sign with the Pacers?
Yeah, J-Huff went to Indy. Yeah. J-Huff went to Indy. Okay. Anyway.
Number one.
Yeah, we said all that because number one is like relatively easy, I think, for everybody. Who wants to give the intro? Who wants to glaze Nikola Jokic?
I did Giannis last week. Isaiah got it, bro.
Yes.
I mean, I don't really got too much to say. Like, I feel like it's pretty, it's pretty clearly, like, he's pretty clearly number one. Obviously, best player in the league. So, he's also the best player at his position. Best offensive player in the league. Some of the best on-off data in the history of the league. Some of the best offensive production, period, in the history of the league. What is the stat? Oh, highest true shooting of any 25-point-per-game scorer in league history in 2023. He's the only player with a 70% true shooting season. Dang. I'll kick it off to someone else.
Does he? Can I ask a question? Does he have the best touch ever?
Yes. Generational touch.
Like that was something I was thinking about. Like I think there will be conversations.
Percentages on floaters.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. It is pretty insane.
And even his 3-point percentages have always been great. His volume just took a giant leap over the last couple of years, and it's just like maintained. Yeah. Like I think if you took out heaves last year, he shot like I think like 48%.
Yeah, it was something.
It was like some
insane.
Inhuman.
I know he had that. He had that bad stretch 2 years ago in the playoffs. I want to say he finished like 1 of 19. I want to say from three, or like missed his last 18. It was something bad. But like we know how good of a scorer he is. Obviously, he's the best passer, second best passer in the NBA. However you want to feel about it, he's the best offensive engine now, and I think there's a real argument he's. I think you can make the case he's the best offensive engine ever. Like I think he's probably getting into those talks as a player.
It's really not.
I think that's the funny part about for me making this list. It was like he's not even in this combo. He's not an NBA center. He's an all time great center that we're just seeing play finish out his prime right now.
Guys, is where do you think Jokic ranks all time right now? And then fast forward 10 years from now.
Like, if he retired tomorrow.
If he retired today, where is he in the NBA? And
then
he's
comfortably a top 20 player.
Ever? Yeah, top 20.
A top 20 ever.
I think
three-time MVP.
Yeah, NBA champion.
Because, I mean, it's what? Like, okay.
So real quick. No-brainer centers over him.
Hakeem. Kareem is over him.
Shaq is over him.
I'd go Shaq.
Kareem, Shaq, Bill Russell, all over him.
Bro, I'm gonna be honest with you, bro. Shout out to Bill Russell. We respect our elders. I'm not gonna hold you, bro. I got into this on a Twitter space with somebody, bro. I went back and looked at his field goal percentage. Gang, it's no way you was 6'10 with a 40-something inch vert. I ain't gonna lie. My thing with Bill Russell, and I've always said this. There's no access for me to your film. I can't judge you. Like, I throw him, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, Pete Maravich, like, those guys where it's, like, 3 games on Hardwood Classic. Even Wilt, like, y'all get your own little separate category, bro. I can't compare you to people, like, I can't watch 10-plus games of your NBA career.
Fine,
dude, so.
I'll,
Like it's
he best players of the last 75 years. So
I was gonna say, like, when Isaiah said top 20, I was like, ah, but I'm looking at like yes. I just like a random list, and like number like, 20 might be like David Robinson.
Yeah, he's better than David Robinson.
Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, he's better than David Robinson. I think
Kevin Garnett.
He's probably better than
he might have an argument over Shaq. I'm not gonna lie.
I think he's pushing though. I think the rings argument for Shaq is probably like that three-peat for Shaq is probably
that three-peat. That three-peat puts him over.
But
Jokic gotta get at least another ring.
I think he will though. I'd be surprised.
But I'm saying
but yeah.
The hypothetical is retired.
So okay, so my next question is
are you saying he's the fourth best center of all time?
He's top five, I think. I don't think it's ridiculous. Man, top five.
It sounds crazy to say that if you really think about it.
To make the list, it's like, how many people are you putting over him?
I think for me, like, the easy three as of right now is Kareem, Hakeem, Shaq. Like,
Kareem,
I think
Hakeem,
those are
Shaq, and then I would say Wilt and Bill. But if you're taking those guys out, then he's definitely top five.
We can't rank segregated.
Oh, so where do you think he ranks in 10 years?
I know. His counting stats are going to be insane. He's probably going to be first, second, or third in all-time triple-doubles. He's going to be like top 10 in assists. He's probably going to be like top 20 in scoring.
He's going to be the third best center of all time. And I think he's going to have an argument for second.
He could cement himself at three. So the person, it's super hard to pass, I think, Kareem.
Kareem is basically impossible at this point.
It's basically impossible to pass Kareem. I think two would be like Shaq, right?
Nah, Hakeem had to play for a long time.
Shaq or Hakeem, right?
I'm saying the jersey's behind you, boy. Show some respect.
I'm saying passing Shaq or Hakeem would be like, he needs at least another ring for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Shaq's got three, Hakeem's got two.
Shaq's
got four. That's right, Miami. Yeah. My bad.
I mean, I think the thing with that, though, is Jokic has three MVPs, and I'm not going to lie, he might not stop there.
Yeah,
like, if he keeps racking up MVPs and he gets another ring,
there's a chance he wins next year.
He'd be the second best center ever.
When you look at, like, the potential going to the season, quote-unquote, front runners for MVP, I mean, it's
gonna be him every year.
I think it's gonna be SGA or Jokic
in that combo again, right?
In that combo every year.
Depending on the Lakers' record, it's gonna be Luka. But outside of that, I mean, who's the other like? Oh, this guy might go in there and win MVP. Guy,
healthy Giannis.
I can't give you a number. I think he finishes at least on my list in 10 years if he can like keeps up this production and you see the normal decline, I guess, in all time greats. I think he. Man, it sucks to see the sign for the team. I think he probably finishes above like that KD area.
Oh, yeah.
He's probably like, I have KD like probably like 11, 12 all time.
I have KD like, around probably, like 13.
Yeah. Like in that area. I think he probably finishes.
He's probably there right now.
Above.
Honestly, I think Jokic at like 18 right now.
Yeah.
Like, no lie.
Players are over Jokic all the time.
LeBron.
Steph confidently
says LeBron.
I think Steph is
Steph's higher than LeBron.
I think KD's the bar. I think KD's the guy where it's like
KD's the, where's like they're like neck and neck right now, I think.
Well, if Jokic continues with this like type, if he has the longevity, I think that's the one question mark about Jokic. Like next contract, he could say, I want to be at my horses.
I'll say, boy, just leave, I wish somebody in the comment section would tell me Kawhi Leonard is over Nikola Jokic all the time, man. But so I wish
they were trying a couple weeks ago.
So
Jokic at one.
Jokic at one,
unanimous.
I think Kuzma unanimous. Miss as well.
I don't think it is.
I have Wemby.
I also have Wemby.
I have to keep consistent from my top 10 players list. I have Joel Embiid at
two. Oh, well, I didn't rank Embiid.
Yeah, I have Joel Embiid at two.
I mean, it's the same thing as the top 10 list.
Yeah. So you're taking Embiid out for
He's not on my list at all for his injuries.
That's valid.
I mean,
that's fair.
I think he's starting the season injured as well.
And I ain't gonna lie, it doesn't sound good, ladies and gentlemen, about Joel Embiid.
I think this is the last year he gets the ring tax. And if he doesn't come out next year and play at least like 55, 60 games, I'm not gonna lie. He's got to stop.
Justify keeping him off the list.
I'm not gonna necessarily go too much. For me, it's just reading the article talking about his health and then where it was last season. How many games did he play last year? I should have looked it up. But
it was like
30 something.
Yeah, it wasn't that many. And then reading the article talking about how he's still not healthy. How he's still experiencing pain, how the swelling and stuff like that is still there. He's not getting any younger. So, like, you know, you don't just typically get more healthier the older that you get.
Yeah.
And then we know about the history of, like, 7-foot guys who start racking up, like, the lower body injuries. That usually spells the beginning of the end. And so, yeah, man, I don't know if Joel Embiid, I don't know how much time he has left. Like, not just as an elite center in the league. How much time does he have left in the league? Yeah, I would not surprise me if in the next year or two, he's just done. Like, he's just retired.
Well, I think that's the kind of thing it is with Embiid, is that if he's healthy, then he's
going to be a top player. One of the greatest players in the league.
If he's out of the league, that just means he's not healthy. I don't think it's ever going to be a situation where it's like...
I mean, I don't know how, like, serious this was, but you remember there was, like, the conversation of the Sixers were almost, like, preparing for the reality where he gets medically retired.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. So
that was during the whole cerebral palsy.
The procedures that he's had, I mean, he's had his knee scoped. He's had multiple knee surgeries. I mean, half his face was paralyzed in the playoff series. Yeah. Like, it was insane, some of the stuff. Like, I'll never question his talent. And for me, the reason I still have him, too, is when that guy does play, like, last time I saw a somewhat healthy Joel Embiid, he was 35 a night. Like, he was... I don't think it's crazy to say, like, he was having, it's not even statistically speaking, it's true. He was having the greatest scoring season ever. Yep. He was averaging 35 a game on, I want to say, 66 true shooting. And it's just, it is the story of Embiid. He got hurt before it could actually actualize into something. Yep. But I think for me, like, when that guy gets to play 32, 33 minutes a night, there's not five other people on planet Earth I'd rather have on my basketball team. There's probably not 15 guys all time I'd rather have on my basketball team, but just how dominant and talented
he is. It's just the odds of that at this point are so slim. Okay, but real quick. So, me and you had Wemby.
Oh, so real quick. If Embiid was on my list, he would be at this spot.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. That's fair. Okay, so, Wemby, Embiid. For the guys who have Embiid at two, do you guys have Wemby at three?
Yeah, Wemby's my three.
Okay, so we can talk about Wemby then.
Did you rank Embiid at all?
I have Embiid at three.
Okay, so you just flipped Wemby. Okay. Oh, so
yeah.
I mean, that was your top. That was on your top 15.
I'm consistent on my top 10 player list. I think with everything said about Embiid.
Really start at four.
Yeah. I think Jokic, Wemby, Embiid healthy is the pretty
cool. I also don't think it's out the realm of possibility that Wemby, if he does take a leap, another leap, like an alien leap again, that he does leap Embiid overall as a player. I don't think that's far-fetched to say.
I think there's a realistic chance next season he's like, DPOY, 25 plus points a game.
Yeah.
Plays.
I mean, he's gonna do that last year.
Yeah, like he would have been first team All NBA DPOY last year if he was healthy. He could be an MVP.
I would like to remind everybody that, like, we all agree he's gonna do that. And that man said that for the next 5 years they won't win a playoff series. I wanted to be set on record.
Their second option is De'Aaron Fox.
I will say, just to touch on Wemby really quick, I think that his defensive impact, I think, will be felt a bit more next year because I think they've really made an effort to at least put more bodies around him that seem able to communicate. Like, just like Carter Bryant.
We could keep it real. Yeah. They put people on a team that actually can attempt to play.
Yeah, they can attempt. Yeah. And to layman's terms, yeah. Like, and I will say, even a guy like Devin Vassell, like, I think people forget what his draft profile was. Like, Devin Vassell came into the league as a guy that was a defender. Like, that's what he was supposed to be, was a guy that was a defender. He gets to the Spurs, has a bit of an offensive lead, was a bit more ahead of schedule. He gets asked to do a lot more offensively. Can you be a 20-point-per-game scorer? His defense lags behind. Hypothetically, if De'Aaron Fox is a player for them, so we don't get into this, if De'Aaron Fox takes that, he's probably going to have the bulk of the ball-handling duties and the bulk of the usage overall, honestly. Yeah. Like, maybe that lets Vassell... Maybe it lets Vassell, like, get back into more of a defensive first.
Be that defensive off-guard.
Yeah, like, yeah, be more of an off-ball guy that's more so in line.
I was going to say, because I hard disagree he's going to be an MVP candidate. He's not.
Wimmy? Yeah. I don't think MVP, because Spurs will be good enough. Yeah, like, they'll win, like.
They're not going to be good enough.
We'll get to it when we do the season preview.
Now, so.
I think he's going to be a top three candidate.
Okay, so you go first for your number three.
Yeah, because my number three is skewed, because I don't have Embiid at all. I have Chet Holmgren at number three.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so I ranked Chet last week. So
yeah.
Oh, he was a four for you.
Yeah, yeah. I put him as a four.
Y'all had him.
He's my five. Yeah, I will say I have Chet at my five. At my four. Sorry.
At your four.
Yeah,
because we're the same five. Because I didn't rank one.
Yeah.
Who's your four?
Oh, I have Shingun at four. And...
Look at that.
I do have Chet five though. So that was
Homer four. Of the year, man. Homer of the year.
So since I ranked Chet last week, I don't have him at four. I have Bam Adebayo.
Oh,
I think
in the pod. We'll see y'all next week.
I think too much has been said about how bad his season was last year, and I really kind of looked into the numbers. It wasn't that bad. Like, he still averaged almost 19 points a game. He was still like 56 true shooting. He shot like 36% from three on almost three attempts a game. Like, I think that was a outlier development that people didn't really see coming from him. He still was top 10 in DPOY votes, right? He got hurt, didn't quite hit some of the game cutoffs. Like,
before,
he had a rough season. But
like, I'm not gonna lie, a lot of points you're saying. I will say,
he's on my list. He's not four, though.
Yeah, I don't have him that much further down, but like, four?
I think if he's healthy, he's still
four. Four is kind of crazy.
I don't want to spoil who I have at four, but when we get to four, I need to ask you, why is Bam Adebayo better than this guy?
Yeah,
Bam is not number eight.
Can I ask, would Chet have been above Bam?
Yes.
Okay.
If I was ranking Chet, he would be right here.
Okay. That's, I mean, So he's really your number five.
I'll say some positive things about Chet Holmgren before we.
Chet's so good.
Yeah, before we get into why that's crazy. For him to, for a team that like has their calling card on the defensive side of the ball, right, with Lu Dort, Caruso, Jalen Williams is a pretty underrated defender. I think Chet Holmgren is the best defender on that team.
I think he's clearly
He's the best defender on a team.
Easily their most important.
Like some of the best defenders in the entire association. And then on top of that, like you talked about it last week, having a guy who can anchor your defense to like best in the league levels and they can also space the floor, that's a cheat code, man. Yeah. Like that, that's not fair. As an avid OKC hater, it is not okay that they were able to walk away with like a game-breaking basketball player like Chet Holmgren. Like
y'all all play 2K. I think every center archetype I hear y'all build is always
floor
space.
Shout out to Nova, man.
Yeah, no one builds like back to the basket guys. Always like, oh, space the floor and then guard the rim. And like the only, honestly, I don't think it's crazy to say, besides Wemby, Chet's kind of like the only guy that does that at that level. There's no one else. Like maybe you could argue healthy Embiid. Right.
Yeah. He is the prototypical like swats and shots guy. Like that's what he is. And he's more than just like a shot blocker. He's a real rim protector. He's a rim deterrent. Yeah. Like he's excellent on that side of the ball. And it's even stuff like I had him one on my board like when he was coming into the draft.
I also did.
Even some of the stuff that I had question marks for him for on the defensive end, like how he was going to handle body contact, would the weight hold up, would he add strength? Even like with him still being on the skinnier side, like he's just a monster on the defensive end. Like it's insane.
When guarding the rim are just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I think, so to that point, another guy that he's not on my list, spoiler, that gets put into these like swatting and shotting talks.
Oh, the yeah, it,
the new, new newly.
Oh, he's not on my list.
Yeah, yeah the newly minted Milwaukee Buck. So I think he's an example of a guy that can block shots and shoot threes, but isn't actually a rim protector. Yeah. Chet actually guards.
I'll say what people think Miles Turner is what Chet Holmgren is.
Exactly.
Like Miles Turner is not the guy.
I will say they did put a Dookie Deluxe in the finals in terms of like shooting the basketball.
Oh yeah, neither of them could shoot.
I think that both of them, and I know we're trying to give Chet praise here, but I think the both of them shot like the worst from three in an NBA final series ever. Bro. It was some stat like that.
Oh, Chet couldn't shoot the whole playoffs.
Actually,
he couldn't really shoot that well in the season.
Yeah, but this was an injury. This was a really, really, he changed his form. You could tell that injury kind of affected his form a lot. But even then, like with him not being the idealized version of Chet Holmgren, you still saw how impactful he was. Exactly. And I think that just shows.
And if his shooting goes back to what I think it will be in his career, like I think he is a really good shooter. If it goes back,
he just has
looking
to
at a guy that's gonna be like,
and he's probably going to add to his game as well. Like
I agree. He also has room to grow.
He's not Jalen Williams SGA, but. He can surprise like some guys off the dribble
He missed his whole rookie season because of injury. He's a little behind the development curve.
I ain't gonna lie, bro. We on year four. We got to stop saying that, bro. You just went to the finals. I don't care that you missed your rookie season anymore.
He's functionally.
He has room to add to his game.
He's functionally
year three for himself. But we can. Do we have to say anything about
that? Now I'm intrigued to hear who was your four.
Who's your four?
Did you say your three yet?
Yeah, my three is Wimby.
And your four is.
Okay, well,
your four was Goon.
Yeah, I have.
Oh, no. Speak on this.
Yeah.
We have
Goon
at
four.
Speak on this. Would you like the jersey? Do you want to like?
I'll take the homerism bullet because I know it's coming. I know I'm going to get fried pretty heavily for putting him this high. So I think for me, right, with the Shangoon stuff, I think a lot of last year, even though he had a down efficiency season, I think a lot of it was still impressive. He had by far his best season in terms of on-off. And mind you, this is with Steven Adams on his team, which historically Steven Adams is like an on-off killer for the other bigs and players in general on his team. Like you look at Jaws on-offs with Memphis. I think even if you go back to like some of the OKC days, he kind of skews guys on-offs because he's such a positive and like him in his own right, right? And when you look at the on-offs between those two, obviously when it's together, it's one of the best in the entire league. But then when Shingun's on without Steven Adams, still like plus five, right? And then when Steven Adams is on, it's like plus four. And this is regular season and playoffs. And so I think with all of the positive metrics and the way that all of his metrics, despite him taking a pretty stark decline in efficiency, were up, right? We're talking about like top 15 in pretty much every like major category. And then his on-off was like plus seven. I think if you have any form of regression to the mean, efficiency-wise, which I do think there will be regression to the mean, efficiency-wise, we're talking about a guy at that point who's pushing like top 10 in a bunch of efficiency metrics. And then at that point, I mean, we're talking about All-NBA, even like lower tier MVP candidate. And I think just for the impact that he would have, especially on this team, I think that's worth the force. But I also think there's a mischaracterization of who he is as a player. I think a lot of people kind of, especially like in the casual eye, they see Şengün as like someone who's a part of the defense, right? Like he's a guy who's playing defense with the team, and he's just not like a negative, so it's cool. But he's a genuine, he's an additive.
He's a good dude.
Like he actually is our anchor. You look at our like on-off numbers with and without him on defense, that's honestly where he takes like the biggest like on-off, especially in the playoffs, so you include the playoff series. Our defense is horrible without him. And then when he was on, it was like phenomenal. And so I think we're talking about a genuine two-way player. And if he gets his efficiency back to what I expect it to be, right?
It's going to be nasty.
I think at that point, that is an All-NBA, like, low-tier MVP candidate. And I think that's worthy of a top four.
I guess it's just that big if of efficiency. I just think, man, I don't want to go in on Şengün, but, like, his shot diet is just, by nature, is always going to be tough. He doesn't exactly have – he's not a rim runner. He's not going to get lobs.
But that's why he doesn't
– that's what makes his scoring valuable.
That's what I'm saying. But I think to that point, there's a reason – his highest efficiency season so far is at like 59 true shooting because
we round
when,
up
when it's you 60, are
man we round up
when you that. Are relying on like post ups, baseline spins, hook shots.
He's a self creating five.
Yeah,
it's just
one of the few self creating five.
Yeah, he's a self creating five, but I do think there's a value in being a self creating five. But I also think at a certain point, if I'm just like dedicating reps to you and you're putting out like 55 true shooting, there is also an inherent knock in that because those reps should be dedicated to someone who can self-create more efficiently. Like, I'm not just going to give you credit for being a self-creating five if you're not doing it properly.
You got to get back to his efficiency that he was at the last two seasons before this year.
I think bare minimum, he has to do that.
I think even for me, less about the self-creation with him, I need him to be more efficient as a roller. And that's one thing that is, like, really, really plagued his career. Pre-Fred and now life with Fred as his point guard. He's always been, like, it's funny to think about it like that, but it really is. When you look at him compared to all like the other high volume rollers in the NBA, he's always been like mediocre to slightly below average when you compare to them. He's a good roller overall statistically, but like he's, and this is going to sound crazy, he's like a DeAndre Ayton level roller. Like when you really look at it statistically, that's kind of just where he falls.
And I think that's just the nature of his shot data.
Yeah, like he's not a role for lob
him
threat.
A role for him is on a role for Clint Capella, where he's just going to the rim, catching the lob.
He's getting a pocket pass. He's looking. He might slow down and turn it into an ISO, might float it into a post-up. I will say, I don't have him as high as Zay. I think I probably have him.
He's on my list, though.
Yeah, he's on my list. He's coming up soon, I will say that. So
he's on my list as well.
Yeah.
He's on my list.
We're going to circle back to your Bam out of biopic.
Yeah. I do want to get to, so if Şengün is your four, is your five Chet?
Yeah, I have Chet at five.
So your Chet's your five. Who's your four and five?
My four is Kat and my five is Şengün.
Okay.
And I struggled pretty hard with Şengün versus
Chet. Who's your four?
My four was Chet.
Okay.
And who's your?
My four was Bam.
Your four was Bam.
My five is Kat.
Okay, so my four was Chet. My five was Kat.
Okay, so that's what I think. Why is Bam Adebayo better than Karl Anthony Towns?
Every time I close my eyes and think about that Knicks series, I see that playoff layup line, and it just scarred me, honestly. When I made this list the first time, I put Kat at four and Bam at five, and then
Bam is not.
I really thought about what Kat looked like defensively in the playoffs, and it freaked me out, and I had to move. Honestly, that's what it is. Because there's no other argument for it. Kat's a way better scorer, he's a way better shooter, he's a way better playmaker. But man, like, that defense is just
also
has not improved.
The funniest on-court player in the NBA.
What did you say?
I say he's probably the second or third best offensive player on this list.
The offense is, frankly, the entire reason he's a top five.
I mean, that's why I put him where I put him, because of the offensive output. Mm-hmm. Like, you talk about stretch five FC. Well, that's Karl Anthony Towns. Like,
stretch five. He just not a rim protector.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have Kat and Bam 6 and 7, so I'm right there. Which I see us this point though. I did struggle really. I struggled a lot with the Kat versus Bam debate in my head because obviously with the efficiency with Bam, like last year was a problem. But I kind of similar to Şengün. I kind of am gonna, even though he's a bit older, give him the grace to get his efficiency back right. And I will say his team context is pretty terrible. Like, I mean, he has one guard who can kind of run a pick and roll, and when he runs a pick and roll, it's mostly to score. Yeah. And then the rest of his team, he's playing with like three guards and Nikola Jovic at the four. I mean, they just got Khalil Ware last year, so you have like another big option, quotation marks. Yeah. They didn't really play together that often. So
I think that's one thing for Bam and Kat that I think comes into question with them is I think they both operate at their best for different reasons, but with another big next to them. Like, I think Bam will look like the best version of himself when Khalil Ware really steps into his own and becomes the player I think he can be. I think Kat's at his best when he has a real, like, bruising center, real rim protector five.
The fit with him and Gobert is, like, what's really
that was I think, the idea of what you want to Kat. I think Karl-Anthony Towns is one of the funniest players in NBA history to me. I don't know if you guys remember, we were talking about the LeBron-Steph debate last week. And there was a poll from around that time, 2016, 2017, who had asked, what player would you most want to build your team around? Right? He was 50% of the votes were Karl-Anthony Towns that season. And a lot of it was because of how good of a defender that he looked like he was going to project to be while being that type of offensive juggernaut, a real stretch five, a guy that I think at this point has really cemented himself as the second best shooting big of all time behind Dirk, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That was the idea of what Kat was going to be. And you kind of saw as he got older and older, body started to get a bit more wear and tear. Like, he just wasn't as explosive.
That's what happened, man. Look at them rookie year stat. All right, highlights. And then look at his highlights from last year.
Tell him what SBS
I'll
is.
I say, man. You can't just say
that. Oh, man. I forgot. Shout out to this is the first time we got to mention SBS. Shout out to SBS. That is the Stiff Back Society. I will say that
board member.
Karl-Anthony Towns might be like the president of SBS. I will say there is another SBS member that's about to be on this list. But Karl-Anthony Towns is the president of the Stiff Back side. We've had a couple SBS members brought up on this top 10 list, this top 10 series. So, Chet fake SBS. We had to like iffy his membership. Nah, I ain't gonna lie. He fake SBS.
He SBS, man. We watched that Maverick.
He got a little bit of something. Honestly, Kat became SBS the moment I saw that no look pass. I'm like, how you look stiff though? Yeah. I was like, bro, like, that was the moment I was like, yeah, you're SBS certified for sure. Yeah.
No, entertaining guy.
Also, I want to talk about Shingun real quick before we move on. I won't reiterate a lot of the points Zay makes. I think he made a lot of excellent points as for why Shingun is as high on this list as he is, because he is my number five. And similar to Zay, I did heavily debate putting him above Kat, but I was like, I'm going to go ahead and defer to Kat was better last season, so I'm going to defer to at the better season to kind of split the difference. But like, fast forward a year from now, I don't think it's ridiculous to say that he is number three or number four on this list, because of what Zay said, I think the efficiency will kind of strike back. I think a lot of the conversation around Shingun and his efficiency last season, I think, was a bit disingenuous, because it was presented as if he's just this notoriously inefficient big. And go look at his efficiency. That this is the only season where that was the case. He was 59-60 true shooting, except for his rookie season. I don't remember what his rookie season was off the top of my head. But
his rookie season was really,
he didn't
like really 55.
Yeah, he didn't play that much, though. That's the thing. He didn't play that much. And when he did play, he looked amazing.
Yeah.
We have a larger sample size of him being a more efficient player than what he was. And maybe you could argue a lot of why his efficiency wasn't where you wanted to be last season was because of the injury he had to kind of end his season. You could argue a lot of it was the uptick in defense. I was going to say, when Zay was talking, I think at times last season, I would argue to you that he was a better defender than offensive player. And
that's a
sentence that I don't think I would have said 2 years ago.
He's a better defender than a scorer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's not a sentence I thought I would say a couple years ago. And so when we talk about putting it all together, I mean, that's a crazy player, dude. Combining.
I will say, he does have the potential to make me look very dumb very soon. I guess peek behind the curtain here. We're recording this on Tuesday. Shingun has played 4 Eurobasket games.
He
looks amazing. The efficiency looks insane.
The touch looks back. The playmaking looks better. The defense has been phenomenal.
Yeah.
By the time this episode comes out, like, he could be the front runner for Euro.
I think they said that we're recording on a Tuesday. As of today, he is.
Today, he is the favorite.
We could be recording this, and he could be 5-0 with a win over Nikola Jokic.
Yep. By the time this episode comes out, I'm sitting here with him.
I was going to say,
really low on my list.
The last thing I want to say about Shingun was just, like I said, I think a lot of people almost treat it like his efficiency was, he wasn't that good. But, like, as they point out, the impact metrics, like, vehemently disagree with that. And then, if nothing else, the dude was an all-star. And I think more important than that, he was a vote shy of making All-NBA 13.
Yeah. One vote shy.
Literally yes. One vote.
And so, like, I feel like everybody was trying to make it seem like he's not the amazing player that he was for the Rockets last season. I don't see how the guy is, like I said, a vote shy of All-NBA 13 if he's not that phenomenal of a basketball player. So, like I think he's going to put all of it together this year. And like I said, I think there's a world we look back on this list and the guy is number three, guy is number four.
So can I get a quick run through of everybody's top five real quick? So
start for me. Okay. I have Jokic, Embiid, Wemby, Şengün, and Chet.
Jokic, Wemby, Chet, Kat, Şengün.
Jokic, Wemby, Embiid, Bam, Kat.
Ooh. I've got Jokic, Embiid, Wemby, Chet, Kat at five. I'll start off my number six is Asia Wilson's boyfriend, Idris Adebayo. I have him at six. So I think this is about the range where I think after Wemby, and I think I gave Chet the boost because you were a major, major contributor to a finals team. And it's a championship team at that.
And then you had Cat at five, right?
Yeah, Cat at five. I think like five to, we'll get to eight, but I think that range of player to me, it's
kind of similar.
It's going to kind of come down to who has the best season for me. And that guy, I think I'll end up, at the end of next season, we'll end up leapfrogging. But I think a lot of these guys are in that same realm of talent and impact at the moment. I love Bam. I loved him since he was at Kentucky. I think he's a fantastic player. I think that the scoring aggression for me is something that I've always wondered why he isn't another. I talked about it with Jaren Jackson Jr. of like, I look at guys and say, why aren't you 25 a game? I look at Bam in that light. Like, he has great touch. He has a great handle for a guy his size. Something a lot of people don't talk about. He's one of the best ball handlers for 6'9", 6'10 plus
legit
guys
playmaker,
in the NBA. Legitimate playmaker. DHL you can run, DHO guy. You can run actions through him. He's a guy I look at and always wonder, like, why aren't you 25 a night? Like, what is it that's stopping you from being 25 a night? At this point, it's just himself. He's just a guy that doesn't look willing to score 25 a night on every given night. I understand that him scoring 25 might take away from him being a perennial DPOY candidate, a legitimate all-defensive guy as well. That's why I have him at six. It's why he's not lower on my list. It's also why he's not higher. I think that he's letting himself down production-wise. I think that Bam Adebayo could be a guy and should be a guy that should be 23, 24, 25 a night while still giving you near DPOY levels. Obviously, like, it's hard to be 25 and 9 and be consistent DPOY night to night, but
yeah,
I still think
that's very tough.
Yeah, I still think the impact that he provides on the defensive end throughout an 82 game season, that impact will be felt at a DPOY level. And I still think he can do that with the piece they've put around him now. Khalil Ware is going into his second year. I expect him to have a good season. Tyler Hero is coming to his own. Whether you like
gas that Heat team game.
I mean, I'm not trying to gas it for them to like that they're going to win anything. I don't think they're going to win a damn thing. But like, they've put guys around him that are going to allow him to operate in certain spots. Like, Norman Powell's a proven scorer. Tyler Hero is a proven scorer.
Next to James
Harden. It's fair. But like, they've got NBA guys around him, like legitimate starting level talent around him now, and guys that I think will continue to grow. And should allow him more freedom on the offensive end. So I'm hoping that we get to see the best version of Bam Adebayo. I don't think the Heat will do anything this year.
I can't wait till we get to like the conference preview.
The conference preview is going to be
I got
to
say about that Heat team, man.
You mentioned his touch, and for me, that's like the biggest thing with him because you brought it up. He's, I think, for pretty much since he's gotten to his prime, he's been like 46% on like long mid ranges. And that, like, I always look at that and I wonder, why are you not shooting threes? We're going to probably talk about another person who's also like that. I want to spoil it, but, you know, DeAndre Ayton is another person that I look at, and it's, you know, you're 80% at the line, you know, almost 50% for mid-range. Why are you not shooting threes, right? Because that is a basic way that you can boost your scoring volume and your efficiency by just taking a step or two back. And for Bam, I don't think it's a lack of ability because he's one of the best mid-range shooters in the league.
No, it's kind of the irony for Bam. He shot like 36% from three on almost three attempts.
Yeah, like he can
year.
Shoot. I don't know
but
why.
But he just had his like worst inside scoring year ever. Like, he was terrible.
And so
on
for
layups,
me,
like,
I feel like that's just a quick fix right there. Just take like four or five threes a game.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a pretty easy fix.
I also have Bam at six.
Yeah.
You also have Bam at
six? He's my six. And I'm like a reader to many of the points that was made, but I think about that that podcast clip. From I think it was Udonis Haslem and Mike Miller, where they had Michael Beasley in the show, and he was talking about like Bam's the only guy who's ever beat him 1-on-1. And then Udonis Haslem's like, Bam's like a point guard in a center's body. So no, he's tough.
Who do you got at six, Dave?
Well, I had Cat at six, I had Bam at seven.
Cat
at
six. Okay.
Is everybody giving their six?
I haven't given my six yet. I was torn between
please tell
I think I know who your six is.
Yeah, I was torn between this guy and the person who's seven on my list. But I at the end of the day, the tiebreaker for me was I do kind of think he had the better season. He is going to be 28 next year. I think entering, probably he might have his best season next year. It's not ridiculous that he could be like 20-12 on that team. I have Ivica Zubac.
Yeah, and just so we're clear, you have not said Shingo's
name. I have not said
that. I don't hate
it. Hey, hey, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, when y'all get in them comment sections, direct that.
No. I am.
Him.
I was going to say,
wait till that Turkish Mafia see what he's talking about. Man.
I mean, they not.
Man, what? They ride deep.
He had a really, really good season last year, especially down the
great.
Stretch.
He was great, man.
Sure. And I see the Harden merchant allegations, but it's really not like that. He's not a Harden merchant. It's a lot of post-ups. It's a lot of like hook shots. It's a lot of like self-creation in the paint. Like, it's not just like he's like a rim running guy getting like 18.
Yeah, he got a
that.
Real.
Like,
he was in.
He has a real.
He was an excellent post scorer last year. I think the defensive end for him, like that was.
He made an all defensive.
Yeah, he was an all defensive guy. He was a real candidate for DPOY at certain points of the season. I love Zubac. I don't have him there.
Yeah, he's not there for me.
I have.
He's on my list though.
I had Bam six. I have Şengün seven. Şengün is my seven.
Şengün's also my seven. So yeah. Like all this crazy.
Hey man, boom.
We have
both
Şengün
of them
in the same spot. He's
like, hey, I say.
I think
this side of the pod been right.
I've always been.
Yeah,
I have his jersey.
Take that way. That's how.
He's my favorite player on the team.
Naeem.
I can't even.
I can't even get that live. He's not my favorite player on the team, bro.
Bro, like, hate the right.
Yeah, can't he is a Skrull, by the way, guys. I'm gonna post that picture again. He's a Pistons, Mavericks,
Thunder.
Oh, I remember what you said about Cooper Flagg. He is like a
Thunder Magic.
Yeah,
Spurs.
Thunder Magic Spurs. Yeah, like everything else
Spurs,
but the Rockets.
I think Wemby's good.
Nah. Like hurt them Dylan Harper. A man takes two games.
Oh yeah.
We will drafted James Harden.
We will leak the Discord calls one day. That is all I will say, man. We will leak them calls one day. But I think that I don't think there's a massive gap, is at least off last year. I don't think there was a massive gap between Şengün and Zubac at all. I think that you could argue they were, I think impact wise, relatively the same. I think Şengün was more important to his team than Zubac was to his team. And
I agree with that.
That's where I gave Şengün the edge. I think that Zubac was fantastic, but he was a guy that was, he was their most dependable player throughout an 82 game season, which I give him a ton of credit for. But you still are playing with. You still are playing with James Harden, man. And James Harden had one hell of a season last year. Like, one hell of a season. I think a lot of people didn't give Harden the credit that he deserved. I'm glad he was able to make an all-star team. I believe he made third team All-NBA,
he made third
right?
team All-NBA.
I'm glad he was able to make third team All-NBA. Like, so he got some of the due that he deserved. But I think at the same time, Zubac was an all-defensive caliber player. He was a guy that should have been in MIP talks. He was a guy that legitimately...
I don't think he peaked out last year. I think he got better.
He got better as the year went on.
And if we're looking at a guy who was, like, what, 19-12 last year, second team all-defense, we go into this year.
Yeah, he should not
have been if he's 20-13 on the same efficiency he was last year, and he's an all-defensive caliber guy, like...
Yeah, the Clippers finished top three for defense again. We got to have some real time.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I kind of see that happening.
That is
him. That's why I don't feel bad about putting him at six over Şengün. Just because
I think the development
based off last year, I don't.
Yeah,
I don't hate that.
The development curve for Zubac is like crazy for being a guy who I don't want this to get like forgotten. The Lakers traded him for Mike Muscala.
Yeah, Mike Muscala.
Yep. Like, yep. for half a season of Mike,
averaging like 9 points a game.
Traded him down the hall, literally. Yep. Like, traded him down the hall.
Just let him go.
Didn't even lose sleep over.
Can you imagine what they would do with Ivica Zubac?
Oh, my goodness.
Man, think about that championship.
Luka and Zubac.
Oh, my goodness, dude. Oh, my Lord.
So, seven Şengün.
Seven's a bonus.
Ew.
I have Sabonis.
He is not in my top 10.
Wow.
He is not in my top 10.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That's kind of crazy.
He's not in my top 10.
That's hate. That's real hate.
It's a little bit of hate.
That's bad hate. My seven was Bam.
Okay.
I have Zubac at eight.
Okay.
I have Zubac at eight as well.
Zubac is also my
eight. Okay, so I had Zubac at six, Şengün at seven, and Sabonis at eight.
Yeah, Sabonis is not in my top 10.
Let's talk about Sabonis. Why is he not on your list?
I think he is the one guy that is the definition of a play-type merchant. Like, he is a...
He's a DHO merchant.
He's a DHO merchant. I've seen him too many times, and... Compared to other guys on my list, I just think that they're a bit more impactful. Like the last three spots, 8-10, I think are just more impactful basketball players. And if I ask the general manager, I need to win a playoff series, who would I rather have? I think they'd pick all three of these guys. I know for a fact they'd take
these guys. Yeah, I need to know who's left in your list.
So, I need to say mine. If y'all wouldn't...
So, before we get to the end, right on the Sabonis stuff, the pushback, I think in a playoff context, you're 100% right. I think I would take all seven of the names that got... Well, I think we've mentioned eight different names at this point over Sabonis if we're talking about a playoff context. But on the flip side, right, one with the DHO merchant stuff... I mean, he's also, like, the best at it, though.
He's an excellent DHO player. I don't want to,
arguably the best screener in the league. And then, I mean, you look at the guy, like, because the Kings have had, like, ball handlers.
Look at who they've teamed him up with.
And, like, I'm not going to lie, you look at their numbers with...
Top 10 shooting guards, Zach LaVine. That's what I was told, man.
He made De'Aaron Fox look good at basketball.
I mean, you look at his numbers with Monk. Look at his numbers with Keegan Murray. Fox, unfortunately.
Spurs fans are gonna hate this podcast. Hey, my fault. Hey, we had Wimby too. So
like, I'm not gonna lie. Look at the head off numbers. They're all elite. So I mean, it works. And then also, second part I was gonna say, you're right. Like I said, in the playoff context, I wouldn't want to go near Sabonis. I wouldn't want him on my team. But if I need to win like 47 games, though, I'm not going to lie.
I don't think the Kings
guys are above him.
He's a really good
player. We'll get to it in this season. I don't think the Kings are going to be good at all next season.
Well,
we'll get into that.
I think if I throw Ivica Zubac on that team, I think if I throw Alperen Şengün, Bam Adebayo, anybody you have listed above, and I think some names that I'm going to say afterwards, I think if you put them on that Kings team, you look at them a bit differently because they can run a different style of offense. They have somebody that can self-create a bit
like
more.
An oversaturation of ball handlers now, though. So
I think they have an oversaturation of stink, and I think he's one of the stink.
Like, I mean, but that's a bunch of ball handlers. So now they just need somebody who can run a pick.
I'm going to be honest, bro. You give Alperen Şengün, Malik Monk, dog.
I mean, like, come on. I'm going to keep it
stacked with you, bro. Like, that's nasty. Like, it's really...
I mean, that's because Şengün can self-create, though. Like, he can do
there's
that.
There's a joke he made.
There is a joke he made there. But I think that's my point. I just value the self-creation that other guys provide.
He just got the joke.
He just got it. There are other guys that I think they create... I think there are guys that bring more self-creation than him that I think more valuable. And if they don't bring self-creation, I think they bring a defensive floor that is so much more valuable than anything else he brings.
You just ranked Sabonis yet?
I haven't, but he's on my list, though.
Oh, you have? Okay.
My eight is Sabonis.
I have Sabonis.
Your eight is Zubac, Sabonis. I have Zubac 8.
I have Zubac 8.
You have Zubac 8. Who's your 9?
Rudy Gobert.
Okay, I have Rudy Gobert at 9. Okay. Yeah, I have Rudy at 9 as well.
You have, like, very similar lists.
I have Rudy at 9 as well.
I also have Rudy at 9.
You have Rudy 9?
He is my 10 because I have Kristaps Porzingis at 9.
I'll say this.
Porzingis?
I have KP at 10.
Porzingis not on my list.
I have KP at 10.
And so you'd rather have Porzingis than Sabonis?
Yes. One guy shoots three. He shoots threes and protects the rim. I'd rather have that than the other guy.
I can't be mad at that necessarily, but I disagree. I think Sabonis is the better basketball player.
If
the list was who would I rather have I on think my Porzingis. Team, if that I think Sabonis would be a lot lower. Who's better at basketball,
we're going to see Porzingis have a massive regression to his normal mean as a post-up scorer next year. It's something that last year he didn't get to do as much because a lot of the injuries, the way the Celtics offense operates. I don't know if we remember that finals run that they had. Dog,
it was great.
I'm going to say every other game, you know what they would do? Porzingis, here's the ball at 18 feet. Go do something with it. He'd just turn around and shoot over.
I have a story about that. We were playing against the Celtics, I think, earlier in the season, and they kept posting up Porzingis, and he kept hitting it. I was like, man, this is weird. Like, I don't remember Porzingis being this elite at post-up. I looked it up. Porzingis post-up.
He's always
was
been
like
that guy.
The second best play in the NBA.
Yeah, like he's always been that guy. It's just the volume of it decreased because of the way the Celtics.
I'll say, do you remember how he looked in the first couple of games of the finals in 2024?
Yes, yeah. Like he
was game breaking,
killing the Mavericks, dude.
That's why, I think he's like looking at it now. He was relatively high in terms of like overall post-ups, but I think that volume is going to go up. With the Hawks. I think in those non-Trae Young minutes, dude, it's going to be Porzingis post-up
basketball. On certain nights, he might be their second or third option.
On certain nights, he might be their first option. If he's got it going on, they're just going to give the ball to KP and say, you're the 7-3 dude that can shoot threes, post up anybody. And I think his defense has regressed. Obviously, he's gotten older.
Injuries have kind of zapped.
But he's still a...
Yeah,
he's
a good person.
He's still a good defender. And he's surrounded by guys who can...
This is probably the best... Not the best. The Celtics had an excellent defensive personnel. This is very ideal defensive personnel, I think, around him in Atlanta. I think that he's...
A bunch of wings.
Yeah. I think his role will be... His role will be simplified And he's going to be a box-to-box guy. Like, that's what it's going to be.
So you've done a lot of glazing for him, and I agree with a lot of what you're saying. Why is he below Rudy Gobert?
Because I think Rudy Gobert is... I said Draymond was the best defender of my generation. Rudy Gobert is the second best defender of my generation. Yep. And he still is to this day.
I feel like...
AD and them talks to...
No, so real quick on the Porzingis thing. For me, it's just availability. Like,
that's fair.
I got to see like...
I'm going to be honest. That's why he's at 10. Like, you told me KP was healthy, man.
I need evidence. Yo. I got to see... Like, it's certain things I got to see.
That's 2 weeks in a row, bro. Come on.
No, like, I got to make sure he's healthy.
We're never going to monetize.
We're never going to be able to stay on the court.
We will only ever be sponsored by Center's Culture. Shout out to Center's Culture, man.
No, but like, in all seriousness, like... I have Jared Allen at 10.
Oh, hell no.
He's actually my 11. I didn't make my 10.
And for me, it came down to if I was going into a playoff series with Porzingis or Jared Allen.
Hell no, I sounded disrespectful.
This is really disrespectful.
I mean, if Allen availability is your metric, then
at the end of the day, when Porzingis is healthy, it's not Embiid at this point. Like, I think the injuries
he plays more
crazy toll. Like, and let's be honest, a lot of the games Porzingis played last year, he wasn't that good.
Yeah,
like, especially in the playoffs, like, he was.
I had a take that I was thinking about throwing on there, that I ended up pushing back. My number 10 was gonna be Jalen Duren. Jalen Duren.
Hey, I like that.
He's not a hooper.
Shout out to he is not a hooper. Shout out to Duren FC. I think that he's gonna have a leap. Next year, like, I think...
That's another SBS.
I think... Yeah, no, he's for real SBS. That's a joke, for real. No, he SBS because of the shoulders.
We can put that on a t-shirt.
Like, no, I like Duren.
Yeah, we do. No, someone designed an SBS t-shirt for us, man.
Duren's a demon rebounder. He's a really underrated...
He's a good short roll pass.
Yeah, like, he's a good short roll pass.
You can't bring up his rebounding without even thinking about Miles throughout the season.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
No, but, like, I think Jalen Duren, like, he's... Real athlete.
Yeah. He's one of the best athletes at center in the NBA.
I'm not gonna lie,
the name that I was thinking about that I was struggling with was Aiden.
I think he's a top 15 center, but this is a Luka magic.
It's
a list of projection. He's going to a team with Luka on it, obviously. Yeah. Right. This is also a contract season for him because he signed a 1+1.
Contract Aiden?
So we're talking about contract season Aiden with Luka on the Lakers.
Yeah, my Lakers are 2C, man.
I would not be shocked if he go out there and give you a cool little, like, 18 and 11.
Does he love basketball enough for that?
He love money.
Oh. Yeah.
That's fair. Max.
Yeah.
No, man.
Honestly, that's a really good point because he is going to be playing next to Luka.
It's a player option.
Maybe JJ Redick can, like, motivate him.
I ain't gonna lie, man. He got motor issues,
man.
We talked about
one thing that'll put a battery in your back is a confidence.
I feel like I've
seen Hassan Whiteside. He'd go from like borderline all.
Oh, well, that's the greatest, like, man.
That's the greatest contract player of all time.
No, man.
I will say, even like contract talks aside, I do think Ayton is gonna be a guy. I think he'll benefit similar to where Jared Allen benefits playing next to Darius Garland. Just having a guy that's looking for you and not looking for you in spite of, looking for you, like, genuinely. Yeah. I know I'm creating this advantage. I know I'm getting it to you. Like, Aiden's going to average 10 alone off of Luka dump-offs and lobs. Like, he's going to average 10 off of that alone.
Yeah. And he can also self-create on this.
Yeah, he's a solid self-creator. He's a solid pick-and-pop guy from that mid-range. If he does what you're advising him to do, which I think he should, and hopefully JJ Redick is telling him. If JJ's telling him, I need 4 threes a game up, and even if he's 33 on those attempts, right? Like, his numbers, I think, will look a bit better. The reason I can't put him on, like, top 12 even, I don't know what he's going to look like defensively.
That's
like,
a good point.
The thing with him is, like, it's never, we spoke about it on the free agent, it's never a talent thing, it's never an athleticism thing, it's an effort thing. I think there are going to be nights, and there have been nights the past couple years where DeAndre Ayton tries defensively. I'll give an example. Do y'all remember when Phoenix came to town in Portland? It was like a double OT game.
Oh, yeah.
He had a 30 ball, was flying around the court, looked excellent defensively. You could tell he was motivated for that game.
Yeah.
Next night, man, he looked like a shell of the dude you saw the game before. It's like, man, where is this consistent effort? If you told me I'm getting 82 games of Arizona effort,
you're
DeAndre
not.
Ayton,
oh, you're
that's
not getting
fantastic.
That.
But you're not getting that anymore. I can't bank on that, though. I just can't. Not
I'm
not
going to lie. If he does that, he's higher on this
list. I'm going to say he's way higher on this list than 10.
The
level DeAndre Ayton has, like, he was number one overall pick for a reason, man.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, he hasn't lived up to that heights. In a redraft, he don't even go top 4. With how other guys have progressed in their NBA careers.
A 2018 class. But
It was excellent class. But like, he's still an uber talented center, a freak athlete at that size, super, super skilled, a great, good touch around the basket, a lob great three. Touch. He does a lot of things at the center position that fit next to a guy like Luka Doncic really, really well. It's just, I just don't know if I'm going to get, like, am I going to get dominating or am I going to get DeAndre Ayton like half the season? That's the real question. Like, which half, which person am I going to get? So, I don't know.
But, the Jared Allen hate kind of came out of nowhere.
It wasn't hate. That did sound like hate. My bad, yeah, Jared. I love you, twin. Shout out team Light Skin. We got the same together. You was my starting center on Team Light Skin two years ago. We got to stay together. I still, it's just top 10 is just kind of like, I think there are more talented players that do more.
They're more talented players, but I think he's been undoubtedly productive.
Yeah, I didn't extend my list. So he'd probably be like 11 or 12 for me.
Yeah, like, I think when we get to this range of player, I think a lot of these guys start becoming on like a tier.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's not. Yeah. It's not like if I have Allen at 10 and he has Ayton, that's like a motivated Ayton at 10. That's not crazy.
I'm not buying
that. Like Porzingis, I think definitely is way more talented than Allen.
Yeah.
But then it's like the availability knocks and stuff like that. So like I think all these guys are around that same tier. So none of these names feel ridiculous.
So some guys who I just kind of thought of that we did not name that I don't think should have been named, but just to throw out there, do you think that Derek Lively has the personnel around him to kind of start putting himself into a different tier?
How long is he going to play?
Yeah, I think he's, with the way the Mavs are structured right now, I think he's always going to be limited to like 25
you
minutes
don't think,
a night.
You think they're going to start Gafford over him for the rest of the season?
It's not even, I think Lively's going to start, but they're going to split their minutes. Like I don't think he's never going to play 30 minutes a night.
That's true.
Like, and it's also not the under fact the way they're constructed right now.
When you're playing against, like, as much as AD doesn't want to play center, he does play center.
You're probably going to close
games with him. That's what I'm saying. So he's playing next to another center. Flag is gonna be like a front court esque guy too.
Yeah,
like it. That sucks. Again, like we're giving Luka credit to Ayton going there. Man, this Luka tax when he leaves you.
Yeah,
like like Luka was gave DeAndre. He gave Derek Lively like 10 easy points a game.
Yeah. So
what about Walker Kessler?
That team's just too bad. Excellent player though.
Another player in that.
Excellent
game.
Player.
I was gonna say
about was Klingon.
Klingon was close to me.
He was my number 11. Kling Kong ain't got ish on. Oh my goodness. Go look at his defensive impact metrics. That man is a monster.
He is.
Like he is. I'm gonna say this now. That is Rudy Gobert light. Yep. I'm so serious when I say that. And it's not gonna be light. I don't think it's gonna be light for much longer. That guy is a monster on the defensive end. I think his passing is something that got grossly underrated as he was coming out in the draft. He ran in that UConn offense for a reason. They ran a lot of stuff through him as a DHO guy, middle of the floor for a reason. I love Donovan Klingon for the role. I would say another guy I think is going to take a massive, massive leap. And I think that'll be a conversation we could have in another day, Khalil Ware versus Donovan Klingon. But I think Khalil Ware is going to be really, really good next year, dude.
I'm surprised you didn't say Duran.
It's actually his rookie season. So, like, it's actually his rookie year, man, coming off of that Achilles tour.
But he did not
shed
his rookie year, man. I see what's going on.
He did not shed the rookie year, but what is Jaron Holmes?
We did not say Isaiah Hardenstein, the name that
that's a good point.
Was thrown out
He wouldn't be top 10.
He's not.
No, I'm not saying he should be top 10.
Yeah. Just I can live with that.
He's definitely top 15.
I'm not losing sleep over that. Yeah.
And then, I like Onyeka Okongwu, but we can end the list there.
Yeah.
Demon J-Huff, man, coming for top 10.
But yeah, I think when you get to these offensively limited guys that are defense first, like the Klingon is good passer. He's not a scorer. Yeah. Like, I don't think Klingon's ever going to be self-creating. As much as Jonathan Givony tries to tell us, he's not going to be a shooter. sorry. Man, that's such a pet.
Man, I hate that too.
Such a pet.
I ain't going to lie. Work out the draft next year.
90-second rant. If you cannot shoot free throws in college, if you do not have three-point attempts in college, I do not care what you do at your pro day.
It's the combine, man. He shot.
You are not
looking at at Donovan Klingon, who made 16 straight threes at his pro day. come on.
Also, I refuse.
When we do the draft pot next year, we should do like draft pet peeves and like.
Yes.
That's gonna be one of mine. I hate that.
I'm gonna tell you one right now.
The KD clones.
I
hate the KD clones.
Oh my goodness, bro!
If you're 6'11", he can shoot.
No. The funniest one, they go from 6'11 to 6'8 real quick. Oh my goodness, dude. It'd be the funniest thing for me.
We got scammed, but I am.
So I have before we get to the game, I also have like a quick tangent, right? Because I was having a debate.
Oh, he rubbed my hands. It's serious.
Right. It is serious. Back
that's not the crazy. It's not the
crazy. Cook up, Dexter.
So that's crazy. So we were talking about like shot distribution, right, for the Rockets next year. So it led me to think, okay, let me go like do some research on this. So all I did was the top 10 offenses from last year. I didn't go too far, right? And so what I did was I looked at the shot distribution on average for the top three scoring options. So I won't go too into detail. I'll show folks the numbers after the episode.
By the way, this is my fault because I said I think Shingun's going to take a regression and like shot attempts. Shots a game.
I'm saying yeah. They're going to be mad at you.
And so from looking at it, right, the median number, right, was 48 attempts out of 89 or out of 90 total attempts.
For the top three players?
Yeah, top 10 offense. Yeah. So pretty much the top three players on the top 10 offenses shoot about 53% of the team shots.
That's a lot.
So
sounds about right.
I think it was just a little interesting anecdote when you look at that, because you really don't realize how much the top players on the team, not even just like the best player, but the top three players shoot. But it's a lot. And some of these guys, like I just to go down, the Celtics shot 52 out of 90 of their shots.
Wow. So a lot of that's higher. Jaylen Brown, though. Jaylen Brown's been an insane high field goal attempt guy his whole career.
The Kings were 50 out of 90. Well, the Knicks were 50 out of 89. And funny enough, OG Anunoby was fourth in shot attempts, and he was shooting 14 a game. So if you expand this out to the top four, we're talking about almost 70% of the team shots coming from four players.
So I guess it is plausible for KD to get like 19.
From like 18, like, 15, 15.
No disrespect, gang. Like, bro, Steven Adams not stopping me from giving Shingun like an extra three field goal attempts. Like, that's what it, when I be looking at a lot of teams and just going through, like, bro, like every, this gonna sound so crazy if he has like an offensive lead, but like every team has like a Ryan Dunn. I'm sorry, I'm not, as a coach, I don't think your coach is going in there like, man, I gotta get Ryan eight tonight. Like, if Ryan makes four, Ryan makes four. But like, I'm not trying to get Ryan eight of them tonight. Like, book, go get your by 22. It's going to be Jalen Green. Jalen, you're going to get about 17. Dylan, you go find your 12. Like, that's what it is. I'm not getting
Jalen's first year not leading a team in shot attempt.
Yes. Yeah. Probably. Well,
Devin Booker, it better be. All right, let's get to the game, bro.
All right. What we have today is we have two players. I do not know what their player is. They don't know what our player is. Shout out to Jada.
Okay.
He gave us two random players. I'm going to show you ours, Brother Zed. That is our player.
Oh, okay.
And so they have to guess our player. Okay. We have to guess their player, only using yes or no questions.
Okay.
I'll let y'all go first with the first question.
Okay. So only yes or no questions.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to do teams or in conferences?
What do you mean? Like asking?
Like does this player play for X conference?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Does he play team might be too.
Does he play for the Western Conference?
He's in the Western Conference.
Okay.
He's not anymore.
Oh, you know what?
He is not anymore.
No, he is not.
So he's currently in the East.
He's currently in the East.
You know what?
Okay.
He will be playing in the East next season.
All right.
I'll let you get the first guess.
Is your player in the Western Conference?
I got to double check.
It's like that.
I'm not going to lie. I got to double check.
Let me check.
You say he's in the West or East?
He's in the West.
No, he's not in the West.
He's in the East. So two Eastern Conference guys. Okay. All questions.
Is this player a front court player?
No.
Backcourt player.
Backcourt guy.
More times than not, you would not say he's a front court guy, but okay. He's played.
Okay, it's probably not a guard then.
Yeah, it's probably wingish.
Probably a wing. Yeah. Okay. You guys?
Oh, am I the only one asking questions?
No. Is he black?
He is black.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm thinking of like a guy who might be like mixed.
No, he's black.
Was this player in the playoffs last year?
Undoubtedly, yeah.
Yes.
He was in a playoff, and he just went to the East. They gave us that little tidbit. We got a wing guy that was in, okay.
Wing guy that just went
to the East.
It's their question.
Is your guy a front court player?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Has your guy been an all star?
You said they don't play in the West.
I don't know.
No.
Has your guy been an all star?
No, they haven't.
No
all star.
Okay, so they're a front court player in the East.
Wing
is he? Is he on a good team? Like, will his team be in the playoffs this year?
I think the better question is, did they make the playoffs?
Okay.
Last year.
Yes, they were very good. They were
also in the
playoffs last year. Phone player.
Can I take a shot?
Go for it.
Michael Porter Jr.?
No.
Okay.
I was thinking that.
They said the team was really good. Now it's not. So that, I think Celtics.
Player, yeah.
Or but. It could, okay, Celtics it could are. It's probably Celtics are. Oh, or it could be Pacers because Halley's hurt.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm thinking.
I have a question.
Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah.
Did your player advance past the second round?
Yes.
Yes.
Ooh.
So that, wait.
That eliminates the Celtics.
His team did.
No, the Celtics. Yes. Oh, you said no, past no, the second no. round. Past
they did. Just the Pacers yes. or the Knicks.
They did.
Yeah.
Yes.
So wait, no, but the Knicks are going to be good next year, so it's the Pacers.
So it's the Pacers, yeah. So we know what team it is.
Okay.
They're narrowing it down. We got to know what team it is. So their guy was a wing that's in the West.
Wing that was in the West. Now he's in the
East. I'm going to give y'all a. I think y'all are.
No, we don't.
Okay. It was. He. What was the other question we asked?
Wing playoff team.
Never been an All Star.
Never been an All Star.
In the East.
Is this player an NBA champion?
No.
No.
Okay. So it's not a, okay, not a nugget around
the paper. You gotta ask. Guy wasn't a player, a starter, or not.
Like, okay. Yeah. We'll go there. Is our guy a starter?
No.
No.
So he's a Pacers.
Okay. End. Did your guy, okay.
You got one?
That was gonna be my question.
It's either OB.
Is
Walker, I think.
It's probably one of those two.
Does our guy play for the Atlanta Hawks?
No.
Okay.
That's a good guess, though. I ain't gonna lie. Damn. That's a good question.
I don't know who it is. Okay.
All right. Do you want to take a shot?
It was not.
How do we want to limit this?
I got
okay,
one.
Go ahead.
Did your guy participate in the dunk contest?
No.
Oh.
Okay. shoot.
If you got one, I.
Okay, so does your guy?
That's probably the way you limit
it. Do it.
That's what I was trying to do.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, but how are you gonna do it?
I thought y'all would have got it by now. I'm a girl.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I think they messed up their own trouble.
Yeah, like, I think they are.
Is our guy playing next year in the Atlantic Division?
The Atlantic?
I don't know divisions.
Yeah, I'm going to have to Google that one.
I want
to
say that.
I think he is, though. I want to say the answer is yes, but I'm going to double check.
Yeah, because I don't know.
That's a good question, because I think I know why you're asking that.
No.
Oh, he's not.
No.
Am I tweaking?
No, that's the right That's the right division, you know?
Okay, so no Atlantic. So this is a Central or Southeast Division guy. That just moved over to.
Did our guy go to UH?
No.
No, he did not.
Oh, it's not.
Okay, does he play in. Just no, down the division.
Okay, no dunk contest comes off the.
Are we sure he's on the
pitch? Does he play in the Southeast Division?
Let me look it up again. Although that sounds about right.
Yes.
This point.
So that would be Heat, Wizards, Magic.
Okay, so.
Magic,
yeah, it's a top
ball. Team that was good. Won't be good.
Wizard.
I mean, unless it's someone
who advanced past the second round.
But they advanced past the second round in the East last year, so it has to be the Pacers.
It's the Pacers or
just got
the okay. So it's coming off the bench. It either has to be like
wing ish.
I'm thinking either Jackson, Furby, or Tony Bradley. I think
it hasn't been an All Star.
They said it was a wing or a big.
They said a front court player.
Front court player. Okay.
All right, go. Is our question your question?
It's yours.
It's yours.
We just asked.
Yeah, we just asked division.
Is the type of front court player a wing or a big?
It's a
yes or no questions.
Yes or no questions.
Is it a big? Is it a big?
Yes.
Okay. So
My bad.
Is your guy Desmond Bane?
Yes.
Let's go.
Who was y'all?
Is it Isaiah Jackson?
No.
Was it Tony Bradley?
No.
Who was it?
James Wiseman.
Oh, God, bro. I would not have thought no James
Wiseman.
Oh, my God.
Did he just get there?
We got so.
Not a backcourt player?
You asked
me. It's shooting guard, small forward.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
he's, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I figured.
I wanted to clarify.
Yeah, I wanted to clarify it too.
It was crazy. Two questions ago, I was going to ask, does he shoot threes really well?
Oh, yeah.
That would have narrowed it down to like Nikhil Alexander.
Y'all a borderline all-star. Gave us James Wiseman, bro. Hey, no, I ain't going to lie, bro. We got to run this back with fair players next week, bro. Because that's not fair, bro.
All right. Well, that is.
Nigga, y'all a guy who averages 25 a game, bro. We got James Wiseman.
You know what's crazy?
Hey, who paid these?
You know what's funny? James Wiseman played one game for the Indiana
Pacers. Like, come on.
We figured out it was the Pacers and everything.
Bro, I asked if he was in a dunk contest or not to eliminate Obi Toppin, bro. Come on, man.
We got wrong, bro. No bullshit. When y'all were like, what team is he on? For a minute, I was like, is he in the league?
Bro.
Hold on, bro. I was like, I think he's still with these guys. Guys, right?
Yeah. Bro,
all right.
When we said, when I asked that, did they advance past the second round question?
That was a great question.
That was a great question.
I had y'all, bro.
All right, well, that has been another episode of the Right Read Podcast. Please make sure to like, share, comment, and subscribe on all our posts.
Man, I ain't gonna
shout
lie,
out
bro.
To shout out to everybody that is a subscriber. Man, I done messed the outro up, bro. Messing with y'all.
Shout out
like,
J-Dub.
Shout out to J-Dub. Like, share, subscribe, comment. Turn on your post notifications on everything. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok,
Spotify,
Apple Podcasts, YouTube, whole nine yards. Everybody's links will be in the description down below. Shout out to Lloyd. We haven't shout out Lloyd in the podcast. Shout out to Lloyd, man.
Shout out Lloyd.
This has been the Right Read Podcast. Appreciate y'all, man.